passage today is found in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. We'll read verses 25 through 33. As you turn there, let me remind you of where we are in a series of sermons about the images of the church. We've talked about the images of the church as being almost in a museum, where you come up to the museum and the title of the museum is the church, and then inside is different portraits that God has painted for us of who we're called to be, of what it looks like to be His church. Today's particular image is of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 25. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, He said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and it is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." Today is Father's Day. I hope that you have expressed some degree of thanks and appreciation for your fathers. I took three different greeting cards that I found that are maybe a little bit humorous. Let's read those as we begin this passage. Number one, a greeting card or a Father's Day card. "Great job, Dad. I turned out awesome." This one from an adult child. "Dear Dad, remember my teenage years? My bad. Love, me." Number three, this one from a multiple children in the family. "If at first you don't succeed, try again. Happy Father's Day from your third child." You know, it's a funny thing to begin a passage on a Father's Day where Jesus says, "If you do not hate your father, you cannot be my disciple. If you do not hate your father and your mother, your wife, your children, your brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life." How can Jesus write this? Is that really what he means, that we should hate our family? Whenever you're interpreting scripture, it helps to allow other scripture to speak into it. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 says this: "If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Well, we know we ought to be taking care of our family then. Well, what of the example of Jesus himself in John? We find Jesus on the cross, and as he's on the cross, he's looking out and sees his mother. John chapter 19, verse 26. "When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Dear woman, here is your son,' and to the disciple, 'Here is your mother.' And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home." Jesus, even in those last moments, was thinking about how to take care of and love his family. So then, what is this passage teaching when it says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life"? It's about knowing the cost. Right after, we have illustrations to help us. Knowing the cost of being a disciple. Verse 28 talks about building a tower and saying, before you begin to build the tower, you're going to estimate the cost and know whether or not you can afford to do that. Then he gives another example of war. Before you go into war, you're going to estimate the cost and know whether or not you're able or willing to pay the cost for this battle. We know this in terms of maybe when you buy a house, right? You buy a house, and when you purchase this house, that you begin by saying, what is my payment going to be month by month for whatever this loan duration may or may not be? And so you have this estimate of the payment, but if you're wise, you know that's not the true cost. There's more. There's these little things called taxes. Those got to be in there. There's this other little thing called insurance. Also got to be in there. Then there's these other little things that I tend to like in my house when it's 90-something degrees outside called air conditioning. Utilities. How much are the utilities going to cost? Day by day, week by week, month by month. How am I going to figure out what that cost is? And then if you're buying a house that's not just brand new, then you probably have some other costs that's there. You know, I'm going to have to repair the roof, and I'm going to have to replace the water heater, and I'm going to have to, and you have a list of things that you know that you're going to have to do inside the house, that you're going to have to make it what it was into something else. There's a cost that's there, and you add up all of those things, not just the original payment, but all of them, in order to arrive at your true cost. There's also something called an amortization schedule. And when you sign documents for your house, and you know you're paying interest, and then they show you however much the duration of the loan, what that amount of $100,000 that you're paying on the front side, what that's going to mean over 30 years. This is the true cost. In our passage in Luke, Jesus is teaching that we need to know the true cost of being a disciple. The real cost. He gives the illustration of the family, because those are things that we value the most. And then goes into even our own lives. Verse 33 says it in a different way. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. What's the true cost of following Jesus? Your first application question. Remember, our application questions help us to take God's word and then say, how does this apply to my life? What do I need to do differently? How do I need to bring my life into account, given what his word says? What's the true cost in my life of following Jesus? The answer is everything. So how are you going to value all the things that you have in your life? All your possessions, all your relationships, all your accomplishments, all your whatever it is, all of your time, all of your energy, all of your resources, all of your family, all of all. So when we begin talking about the cost of being a disciple, we begin by looking at ourselves, knowing that it's all. Passage doesn't just talk about what the cost is. It also talks about being able to pay it. Let's read again verses 28, and it will talk to us about able to. See if you can pick up the phrase. Verse 28, suppose one of you wants to build a tower, will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? 29, for if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. 31 again, listen for the phrase. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. Being able to pay the price. If we know the price, are we willing, are we able to pay for it? Why is that such a big deal? Well, if you go back into the passage, you see in verse 29, something's happening. Verse 25 says, large crowds were traveling with Jesus. Why does it seem like a big deal? Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, but why is that context important? It's at that moment when there's large crowds that Jesus turns around and talks to them. When there's a throng of people, Jesus turns around and says, here's the true cost. Here's what you actually have to do in order to be my disciple. Because these throngs that are just on the blessing train, the miracle train, imagine in this day that there's a man who goes around and heals people of their diseases. That there's a man who's able to take nothing and make enough food for everyone. Take a basket of food. And make enough food for 5,000. That there's a man who walks across water. There's a man who stops storms just by saying a word. Wouldn't you want to be with him? Throngs of people were surrounding him. People were following because they're impressed by the supernatural acts. And Jesus turns around in the midst of the supernatural and says, you want to follow me? Let me tell you what it is to follow me. You have to give everything you have. Everything you are. It's not just about the blessings. No, it's much more than that. We see this in other places in Scripture. We find it in John chapter 6 when Jesus has taught the people. And verse 66 of John 6, we find crowds beginning to go away. They turn back and they no longer follow him. And then Jesus says to the 12, you do not want to leave too, do you? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. That while other people are turning away, that while other people are counting the cost and saying, we are not able to pay it, the true disciples are willing, are able. We find it also in Matthew chapter 13. Verse 44 says this, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. That we would see and value and know the relationship with Jesus. That the forgiveness he offers to us and the relationship he provides to the Father is so valuable that we would say, we would give everything we have in order to have this relationship. We would give it all in order to have this as my master and to follow. Our second application questions. Is your obedience to God contingent on his blessings? Is your obedience to God contingent on his blessings? That's really what this passage is. Jesus turning around and saying, hey guys, you're going to have to sacrifice. Hey guys, there's going to be times when it's not just manna coming from heaven. In our lives, are we going to be the crowd that only follows when things are good? Or are we able to even be the Jobs? That when times are hard, we still value the relationship with God enough that no matter what it is we would give up, no matter what the cost, he's enough, and we choose to follow him. Is your obedience to God contingent on his blessings? What would be the hardest thing for you to give up? What would be the hardest thing? The passage gives us an image that we should be willing, and we do lay down all things before him. And at the same time, we live in the midst of this world. We have still possessions and things and relationships. What would be the hardest to give up if you had to? If there is a deliberate choice there. Passage talks to us about knowing the cost of being a disciple, of being able to pay the price. And then Jesus goes even one step further and talks about being willing to suffer and even pay a price physically. Verse 27, anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. If you're a parent in the room on Father's Day, have you ever had children that you had to take to the doctor and give shots? You knew they had to get shots. Did you ever tell them about it a week in advance? The day before. Say, hey, tomorrow is your day. You're going to go to the doctor and get shots. Why would you not tell them? The anticipation of the pain is unbearable. They couldn't possibly bear that. We don't do suffering very well in our society. We have jewelry, rightfully, that signifies and shows us and shows to others that we're Christians and that we value who Christ is and the sacrifice that he made for us. That jewelry is sometimes a cross, right, that we would wear on our ears or around our neck and as a necklace. And that's not a bad thing in and of itself, but sometimes I'm afraid that we've desensitized ourselves to the suffering and death of Jesus. Because the suffering and death of Jesus, as he says it, when he proclaims this to them, anyone who does not carry his cross. That's a very clear image to those people of extreme suffering and death and execution. For us today, the methods of execution that are in the world, it'd be like having a noose around your ear. An electric chair that you would wear as a necklace. No, we wouldn't do that. Anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me, because that's the way of suffering and of death that I'm going. Suffering, and even to the point of death. We don't do it very often in our society. This past week, I was in Texas and heard the testimony of someone whose church has had to go through this. His name is Chris Workman. You may not know his name, but you might know the church, Sutherland Springs Baptist Church, where on November 5th, 2017, a man walked inside the church and 26 people were killed. Others were injured, many others. Chris is one of those who survived. And I heard the testimony of this man who described not just the horrific thing that happened, and it was so, but how God, in a way that only God can take a horrific thing and can use it to bring new life. salvation to many. He spoke of what had been a revival in that area and a community. How people had come to believe and understand the gospel. He has a unique vantage point. And that as he gave his testimony, he was sitting in a wheelchair. And as he sits in the wheelchair and he reflects on the things that happened, he says this: "The loss of my legs is a small price to pay for the salvation of others." Anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. It's hard for us because our culture is such that we don't suffer very much to understand this passage and put it into context. So our last application question will try to frame the point of reference. What's the worst suffering you've experienced in your life? The worst pain, the worst thing, whatever it is. It's what the passage is talking about, suffering. You imagine what that suffering is, that physical suffering. Would you willingly endure it again for the sake of Christ? Anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Jesus is painting a picture of the cost. He's painting a picture of our ability to pay if we're willing. And then he's making sure that we're willing even to suffer. The picture of being a disciple is the picture of the life and death and willing submission to the Father's will of Jesus. Because we follow his steps. We're coming to our time of response. Here's how this will work. We'll sing a hymn of response together. When we sing, if you're not a Christian in the room, perhaps today is a day when you would say, you know what, I know the cost. And I've heard of this relationship of Jesus, with Jesus, and that I'm able to be forgiven of my sins, reconciled to the Father through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And I would like that, and I'm willing to lay it all down for him. When we sing our song, if that's you, you can come forward and say, I need to become a Christian. If in these moments it's too much pressure, that's okay. You can find another Christian in the room or me at the end of the door as you head out at the end of the service. And we can talk about it. Ask all the questions you want. There's others in the room that are Christians already. You're looking for a church home. You want to know who we are. We do our best to love God, to follow him with all our hearts, to love each other, and to bring his love into the world. If that's you, then during this time, you can come forward and join us. And then there's this last group of people, which are Christians and members already. And as we sing a song of response, we allow the questions, we allow God's word to resonate in us, and we figure out ways to be different walking out of this place than when we walked in through the leadership and direction of the Holy Spirit. Please, stand with me as we sing our song of response together.